Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, March 13th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, you had a full stable of the traditional This Week on Broadway commentators this week with Peter Felicia back in his chair. So how'd everything go? Was everything normal? Was anyone out a little rusty, needed to work out the kinks now that you're back after a few weeks of having some pinch hitters?
Well, Peter was out at the CCM watching a production of something, Mac and Mabel, that's what it was. You know, Peter's on staff, visiting professor at Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, or College of Conservatory of Music at the University of Cincinnati. And he was there to see Mac and Mabel, and he pointed out that there is an outstanding young talent coming up calling, his name is Alex Stone, who starred in Mac and Mabel, and who is only a sophomore, and that's great. We also had a guest, Deborah Grace Weiner from the 92nd Street Y Lyrics and Lyricist series. She was on talking about an upcoming show. But Peter gave us his review of Come From Away, which opens tonight, opens on Sunday night at the Schoenfeld. And we're going to talk about our reviews here. Peter really loved it. So tell us, what did everybody else think?
Well, it's weird, James. This past week, we've also seen the opening of the Sam Gold, Sally Field, Joe Mantello, The Glass Menagerie. And the word on the street for that show was that it was hot garbage and it was terrible. However, the majority of the critics really enjoyed it. Ben Brantley was a little lukewarm on it. You know, a lot of people thought it was scathing, but I kind of read it as being lukewarm. Come From Away, on the other hand, had fantastic word of mouth coming into its opening, and the reviews are kind of some people liked it, some people didn't, some people were in the middle, so it's really interesting. But as you said, the new musical Come From Away opened last night at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater, with a cast including Jen Colella, Rodney Hicks, Kendra Kassebaum, Chad Kimball, Caesar Samoya. It's got an original book and lyrics by Irene Sankoff and David Hine, who wrote the book, and the music and lyrics as well. It's directed by Christopher Ashley, and it basically tells the story of a group of passengers who are stranded in a small town village in Canada on 9/12/2001, after obviously the attacks in New York City. But let's dive into these reviews. Robert Kahn of NBC New York said, "Many of the portrayals feel like stock characters, the Blusty Mayor, etc., but the acting is excellent all around. There was discipline used here. There's no footage of burning towers, crashing planes, or falling bodies. Come From Away manages to find a spiritual angle to a horrific story depicting the goodness in humanity while still allowing us room for the feelings of loneliness and fear that will always be connected to that time." Pretty good. Jonah Menowitz of the New York Daily News writes, "It's a story that sings. The score consists nearly entirely of group numbers. Music is flavored by Celtic folk, gentle rock, foot-stomping rhythms, and perhaps a whisper of Gordon Lightfoot." I don't know if that's a good thing or not, James, so we'll see. Anyway,
I love the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Of course, that's really the only song that I know of Gordon Lightfoot. But anyway, while rousing and rich in harmony, the music suffers from sameness and a sound mix that obscures lyrics. Director Christopher Ashley guides the excellent cast in energizing staging. The show glides along a nonstop 1-hour-and-40-minute trip. It's a singing reminder that when things are at their worst, people can be at their best. Your friend James Adam Feldman from Time Out in New York did give the show 4 stars, but when I read the review, it was, you know, wasn't as big of a rave as you would expect for a 4-star show. He wrote, "Although the residual shock of 9/11 gives it a strong current of emotion, Come From Away's multiple narratives mostly have low stakes. It's essentially a show about a bunch of people inconvenienced at once. When it touches on weightier concerns, it falters. It is better at celebrating less consequential things, like a rowdy evening of initiation at a local bar where the visitors are urged to kiss a cod and try a local rum called Screech." You know, not a 4-star review, I think, but also Matt Widman kind of takes it a little step further, and here's where the negative ones come in. Writing for AM New York, he said, "The cast is made of versatile performers, including Broadway veterans such as Jen Colella, Rodney Hicks, Chad Kimball, and Kendra Kassebaum, who are able to handle a fast pace and quick changes. It's a heartwarming story told with high energy, not to mention an effective seminar on crisis management and a persuasive advertisement for Canadian tourism." But Good intentions aside, Come From Away has the depth of a Hallmark card and a pub rock score that is generic and unmemorable. So I don't know if this is something just, you know, the evolution of theater criticism, where nowadays so much about whether a show sells or not is about word of mouth and star power. The last two shows that we've seen open on Broadway, the majority of the reviews have been kind of not at odds necessarily, because I think this is a little closer to the word of mouth, but definitely not completely in lockstep with the word of mouth that we heard during previews. So do you know if there's do you have any sense as to why that is, James, or is it just different strokes for different folks and this just is a small sample size? Or do you see a divorce between the critical reception to things and the popular consciousness in recent seasons or shows or however kind of time period you look at it?
I think it ebbs and flows. I mean, you look at some of the largest successes on Broadway being Cats and Mamma Mia, shows that just got killed in reviews that went on to financial acclaim that was amazing. And then we see other shows which got amazing reviews that died on the vine. So I think that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't insofar as the reviewers being in lockstep with ticket sales. I think it's tough. Peter talked about on This Week on Broadway, talked about Come From Away not being what he called a musical, which he said is not a negative thing. He said it's a very good play with some very good music in it. And I'm interested to see, because I'm going to see Come From Away in the next couple of weeks, to see if I understand better what he meant by that. But he felt that it was a tremendously moving show about an amazing group of people that you know, it's a true story, and it's encouraging to see that there are such good people out there. Insofar as Adam Feldman, one of my stark remembrances of Adam was September 12th in 2001. I happened to run into Adam just north of Ground Zero, and we were in what's called the Red Zone. And Broadway goes all the way down. For folks who are not familiar with New York, Broadway is actually the longest street in New York. It goes from the top of Manhattan to the bottom of Manhattan. And Broadway goes right by Ground Zero. And I ran into Adam on the street, and we had a big, long hug to see that each one of us was okay. And so I think Adam and I and the folks who lived in New York have a very different view of 9/11 than others do. So I don't know if that affected his review at all, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for Adam. So I'm interested to see the show. We'll see what happens. We'll see what Mr. Brantley has to say in a little while. All right. Right after we finished recording, Brantley's review from Come From Away came out. So Matt, what does it say?
Okay. So good news for everybody from Come From Away. Brantley has officially made that show a New York Times critics pick. That's a good thing. He writes, quote, "Try if you must to resist the gale of goodwill that blows out of Come From Away, the big bear hug of a musical that opened on Sunday night at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. But even the most stalwart cynics may have trouble staying dry-eyed during this portrait of heroic hospitality under extraordinary pressure." He continues later on in the article, "Come From Away, in other words, is smarter than it first appears. The show starts off in a grating key of deep earnestness as a chorus of Ganderians," I'm guessing that's how the citizens of Gander are named, "step to the edge of the stage to deliver an anthem of hearty regional identity. But as it proceeds, the show, based on interviews with the people who inspired it, covers a vast expanse of sensitive material with a respect for its complexity. It understands that much of what it portrays is guaranteed to stir fraught memories among many of us. And it mostly refrains from over-egging what could have been a treacly, tear-salted pudding." So I guess, in all things theatrical, critical ties, Ben Brantley in the New York Times is the tiebreaker. So I'm guessing this is a good night for the people from Come From Away over at the Schoenfeld, because, you know, we talked earlier in the show that reviews are becoming less and less important when it comes to advertising and word of mouth and star power. But the one that continues to hold some weight is The Old Grade Lady, and this is definitely a good one for them.
All right, next up, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf opens to strong reviews in London.
Yeah, we've talked about this show a number of times in recent weeks leading up to the previews and then the opening, but the James McDonald-directed version of the Edward Albee classic officially opened late last week in London, and the show is scheduled to play the Harold Pinter Theater through the 27th of May, starring stage and screen star Imelda Staunton, Conleth Hill, Imogen Poots, and Luke Treadway. Of course, Imelda Staunton is always kind of rumored to be bringing the Olivier Award-winning production of Gypsy to New York at any point. The consensus is that it'll come from a nonprofit theater company sometime in this upcoming season, so we'll see what happens there. But her portrayal of Martha in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is getting strong reviews in the meantime. Michael Billington of The Guardian wrote, "This is one of those rare occasions when play, performance, and production perfectly coalesce. Imelda Staunton, having portrayed one of the sacred monsters of the American musical in Gypsy, now brilliantly embodies Edward Albee's campus Medusa in the shape of Martha. Conleth Hill matches her every inch of the way as her seemingly ineffectual husband, George. Watching the two of them pummel each other senseless in a three-hour verbal slugfest may be exhausting, but it is ultimately uplifting and cathartic." Henry Hitchings of the Evening Standard writes, "James McDonald's precise and finely balanced production ensures that this modern classic still feels lethal. As Hill and Staunton fathom the depths of their poisonous duet, the humor, spelled with two U's, is merciless and the pain exquisite. Sarah Crompton of What's On Stage, Dominic Cavendish of The Telegraph, and Dominic Maxwell of The Times of London also gave positive to rave reviews, but Quentin Letts of the Daily Mail was not as impressed. He wrote, it is bleak, excessive, repetitive. Listening to drunks in real life is boring enough." How true that is. "Watching them depicted on stage for an evening that lasts 3.25 hours may feel like a penitence." So even across the pond, there can't be critical consensus, apparently. Everyone's got to be a contrarian and an outlier when it comes to the critical profession.
I have to go back to Come From Away for one quick question.
Fair enough.
You mentioned in one of the reviews, I'm looking at this, Joe Domenowitz, "The show glides along a nonstop 1 hour, 40 minute trip. Does that mean it's no intermission?"
I believe that's correct, yes.
Interesting. All right, back to Imelda Staunton. So that is, I think that many, many people expect this show to transfer. And
really? I hadn't really paid that much of attention. She's already got another show rumored to transfer, and that would be interesting because this show seems to kind of be like the Glass Menagerie. You can never have too many revivals of Virginia Woolf, apparently.
I was just about to quote our show to you the other day thinking it wasn't you when I was like, we got to finish up before the next version of Glass Menagerie comes out.
Hey, if they can keep recycling shows, we can keep recycling jokes.
Now you're talking. All right. This week's theatrical schedule.
It's a little lighter this week. There's a bunch of other things opening up, but I didn't want to bog us down since we had a bunch of reviews. So I'm just going to hit the high notes of what's coming up this week in and around Broadway and off-Broadway as well. First, on Wednesday, March 15th, The Ides of March, Beware. The latest Broadway revival of Hello, Dolly! Begins performances at the Schubert Theater. The revival, of course, stars Bette Midler, and David Hyde Pierce, not familiar with either of those people. It is directed by one Jerry Zaks. The show is scheduled to open officially on April 20th.
Let me interrupt you for a second.
Please do.
The revival is going to start performances on Wednesday the 15th, so we have to make sure that Robbie Rizel gets an invite to the dress.
He did. He tweeted that he got an official invite to the invited dress, whenever that is. I think it might have been over the weekend. Yeah. So he did. He did get the invitation because he was not so subtly begging for one before that.
All right. What's going on with the public?
Also on Wednesday the 15th, the Publix world premiere of David Byrne's Joan of Arc Into the Fire officially opens off Broadway. The new musical is scheduled to run through April 30th. I think this will be one of those shows that I think people are going to want to keep an eye on. We kind of know David Byrne's history, and this is a show that doesn't have too many big names in it. But I have to wonder if this show does well. I haven't heard much about it at all, to be honest. But with his track record, if this show does well, this might be one that an innovative producer might eye for a new year, to a Broadway transfer. So we'll keep an eye on those reviews as they come out later in the week. The next night, on Thursday, March 16th, the Roundabout Theater Company's Broadway revival of Arthur Miller's The Price officially opens at the American Airlines Theater. The production stars Mark Ruffalo, Tony Shalhoub, Jessica Hecht, and Danny DeVito, and is currently scheduled to run through May 7th. Also on Thursday the 16th, the original Broadway production of Groundhog Day the musical begins performances at the August Wilson Theater with an official opening scheduled for April 17th. The show, as it did in the West End, stars Andy Carl as Phil Connors, and in the Rita Hansen role, which was originally portrayed by Andy McDowell in the movie, Barrett Doss takes over that role in the New York run. Then fast forwarding a few days to Sunday the 19th, the Cate Blanchett-led Broadway premiere of The Present ends its Broadway engagement. So if you haven't seen that one yet, get a chance to go over in the next week to see Cate Blanchett before she heads back down to Sydney. And then also on Sunday the 19th, the Vineyard Theater's off-Broadway premiere of John Kander and Greg Pierce's new musical Kid Victory ends its run as well. So a few things that you have, just about eight performances left to check out before they are no more.
Hey, this isn't in our script. Did you see anything about the 30th anniversary party for the Les Miserables family?
No, I didn't. I saw a lot of people tweeting on Sunday yesterday about being at the 30th anniversary, but I didn't see anything about a party. My invitation must have been lost in the mail.
Well, you just moved, so this is the
That's issue. True. I mean, I moved last August, but yeah, I guess maybe. We'll see.
So happy 30th to all the Les Mis family out there. In the recommendation section, I sent this off to you that I wanted to talk about this. KCRW's The Business is a podcast that I listen to. It's also on the radio, and it's Kim Masters, and she really talks about Hollywood, not really about Broadway. But there is a lot of overlap in the issues that go on there. And this week's episode, I really encourage everybody to listen to it. It's a writer-director, Ryan Murphy, was the interviewee, and he talks about his something that he works on, which is he's got this thing called the Half Foundation, where he's dedicated to
Half Project or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Half Project, Half Foundation, something like that, where he's dedicated to making sure that, at least half of all the, positions in the production, whether it be designers or directors of photography or producers, executive producers, things like that, at least half of the roles in producing the shows that he works on will be filled with women or people of color. And he talked about how this goes about and how he wants to bring people into the fold of the creative arts. He's specifically talking about film and television, but this could work also for Broadway, I was thinking, and I was wondering if anybody else knows of anything along these lines that might be happening in Broadway or in maybe the regional theaters or something like that. So take a listen to it, and if you have any thoughts on it, please tweet at us or get in touch with us and let us know. KCRW is The Business, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's such a great podcast. It's weekly, and it's about less than an hour or so.
Yeah. So it was a really interesting thing. I mean, this is a great initiative, especially since I think currently I checked the stats. I believe 1/3 of every television show that's produced right now is being overseen by Ryan Murphy, because he pretty much does everything. He does the American Horror Story, American Crime Story. He's got the new show Feud which is the Bette Davis, Joan Crawford show on FX. But it was really interesting. Listen, and how he came to it, he was the showrunner and the creator for American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. They had this great episode that was going to focus on Marcia Clark. They had a female director for the episode who had to have emergency surgery on her leg. And it was just about like 2 weeks before the production was going to go into production for that episode. And he couldn't really think of any other women to bring in to kind of do it really quickly. So he ended up directing it, and it ended up being an Emmy Award winning episode. But it really kind of frustrated him that he didn't have just a Rolodex of female directors that he could call at the drop of a hat to get them in to do something like this with such little notice. And that's really was the impetus for starting this. So I think this is a great thing. I have a lot of qualms with Ryan Murphy and the television that he produces. Some I like, some I hate, some I think he gets bored with and they lose their way halfway through a season. But this is something that has made me an even bigger Ryan Murphy fan. And I hope that he continues to champion this, whether it's for women, people of color, other minorities. I don't know if he's including LGBTQ people in there because he's a gay man and he considered himself a minority when he was talking about stuff. But either way, this is a great initiative and something that I hope becomes even more prevalent in TV and movies and in film. I know FX, which is one of the networks that he works with almost primarily at this point, they in general are making an effort to increase the number of women that direct TV shows on their network. So, you know, the representation is important. And so I hope this is something we see continue in all areas of the arts.
Yeah. And he did use that term, his Rolodex. And I cringed. I thought he was going to approach and say,
"Don't."
Binder full
don't,
of women.
Don't. I knew that's where you were going, Mitt. I knew you were going there.
And I'm glad he didn't go there because that would have taken on a whole nother meaning there. All right. So that's it for today. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for starting off your week with us. If you are in the New York City area, please get milk and bread because there's going to be a blizzard. Oh, my goodness gracious. Everybody's freaking out. But Matt and I, we will be back tomorrow regardless.
How can there be global warming if there's going to be snow in March?